jazz patriarch Ellis Marsalis is coming to Atlanta at the end of the month. He'll be joined by his quintet, including two of his sons. I spoke with the two concert organizers who are not in the business of entertainment, but instead advocacy. One is Paul Bolster, a longtime affordable housing advocate. The other is Noel Kendrick. As a musician, he drummed for Ellis Marsalis, but then he experienced homelessness firsthand. Here's Noel.
I like to tell people, all of my friends, the Marsalis family, Harry Connick Jr., all of the people I performed with, all the travels I did, afforded me the opportunity to analytically keep going right. I decided to make a left. And in so doing, it just took me down a path of ultimate destruction from the inside out. And that entailed a lot of, for the sake of time, horror stories and horrible experiences. I literally went from traveling all over the world to prison, from prison to homelessness, and from homelessness back to a platform that's afforded me a life beyond my wildest dreams. It's amazing. It's amazing. How much time do we have? I'll tell you the whole story.
Well, it's certainly a dramatic one.
I actually left DeKalb County Jail about 7 years ago, homeless. Didn't know where I was going to sleep that night. And it was February. Oh. Very, very cold outside.
And you were in jail because of?
Because of my addiction, because of the symptoms of my mental illness, just kind of taking control of my life again, and because of my unwillingness at the time to do anything about it.
So how did you get back into housing?
Exactly. Again, I left jail homeless, didn't know where I was going to go. I ended up at the Atlanta Union Mission, and that was a step up. I had just left jail. So from the Atlanta Union Mission, I moved over to the Gateway Center, which is a place for homelessness, a place for mental health challenged people, which is what I was. And I had a wonderful, wonderful counselor by the name of Tony Stone. And I pretty much did everything he suggested I do. And little by little, incrementally, you know, things started to improve. It didn't happen overnight. Matter of fact, it took a couple of years. From Gateway, I transitioned into a program called Caring Works, where I was provided housing. I was provided the opportunity to get a sense of independence again. And I was provided the real platform to touch recovery again, because recovery is what I'm about today, not so much the horror story. And through recovery, I was able to attend Georgia Mental Health Consumer Network CPS training, where I became a certified peer specialist, which is a state certification and a Medicaid billable service.
You're a peer mentor.
I am a peer mentor. In fact, I'm an assistant director now at the Peer Support and Wellness Center in Decatur.
And what do you do in that role?
Well, I oversee staff, for one. I also participate on a daily basis in the running of the entire facility. And it's not so much a job as it is a passion. You know, I get to is my perspective today. I don't got to go to work. I get to go to work. And it's a joy. It's a joy. It brings a sense of balance into my life that can't be bought. It can't be compared. It's priceless.
What's so exciting about his story is that it's an example of the investment that Atlanta as a community has made in avenues for people to recover. The 24/7 Gateway was a product that United Way was behind, the former mayor was behind. I was actually the developer of that project when I was working with United Way. And that kind of resource gives people hope and an opportunity to move to other things. So Atlanta's really doing a lot of great investing in the issue of homelessness.
And you certainly know the ins and outs of it. How does a housing center like that help navigate the road to having one's own home?
Well, the main solution, I think, this is my kind of personal opinion, I've lived this way for a while, is that permanent housing is the thing that needs to be the focus. because you can do emergency services. People can get their act together. They can sometimes overcome their addiction and their mental illness. But ultimately, there has to be that avenue for a home. I think without a roof over your head, you can't really take advantage of all the opportunities that exist in our community. So for the last 20 years, I've worked on with the Urban Residential Development Corporation as a volunteer. I'm a volunteer executive director. That's kind of a strange thing these days. And we have 147 units that used to be, many of your listeners will remember the Alamo Hotel from ancient days. For 20 years, it's now been the Santa Fe, where people have a room with their own key, a microwave, a refrigerator, and a way to approach independent living. There's a nice MARTA stop outside. And that's the kind of housing. It's not perfect. It's not like we would like everybody to have. But it is that place where you can then start taking advantage of all the other opportunities.
Noel, as a drummer, I know you played with Ellis Marsalis before.
I did.
And Noel and Paul, you've teamed up to bring the Ellis Marsalis Quintet to Atlanta. Now, you are not experienced concert producers. What have been some of the challenges of booking this event?
I think you should answer that.
Well, we know that the event is something that people will want to see, but it's hard to get through all of the maze of messages and opportunities that people have for entertainment in the city. And we don't have a strong base of being able to communicate this. It is a concert where great music is supporting a great cause. So I think there is a compatibility and a compassion between those who support the arts and those that support the homeless community. It's just how to kind of bring them together. There are oftentimes are difficulties in our society bringing groups with different interests into the same forum.
Why a night of jazz?
You know, again, I personally know Ellis. I've performed with him, recorded with him, toured with him the whole nine. And so when I talk with him about this, he was excited about the cause. You know, of course he'll come and play a concert. That's what he does. But the why of the concert, the why of the event, sparked as much interest in him as anything. You know, he's an educator and a lecturer and a person full of compassion for people. I mean, that's obvious in the legions of musicians that's come across his, what I like to call his university, the University of Ellis Marsalis. So, you know, he decided to lend his name not only to the show, but to the cause. And being Ellis Marsalis, it can't be anything but jazz.
I think probably all music is focused on the feel of human feelings. Maybe jazz is a little bit above that in terms of trying to get to our inner spirits, our spiritual side, which I think you need if you're going to try to focus on some of the most difficult issues that human beings have in our society, which is the issues related to homelessness and the feelings that happen there. So I think jazz is a very appropriate medium to be there and be thinking about that.
Very much so. I mean, you know, when you think about jazz, you think about part of what it incorporates, among a whole bunch of other things, is the fact that it reflects the real soul of a people, of a culture, of a community. And who better to exemplify that than Ellis Marsalis?
It is a uniquely American art form.
100%.
Not only did Ellis Marsalis, the patriarch,
that's right,
sign on immediately, but two of his sons will be joining you as well.
That's right.
What other representatives of the Marsalis family will be in this concert?
Okay, it will be Jason Marsalis, and he's going to be playing vibraphone. He's an incredible drummer, but in this particular setting, he's going to be playing vibraphone, and his brother Delphio Marsalis, who's just an amazing trombonist, is going to be playing trombone along with Ellis. And, you know, those in the know, like I was saying earlier, you know, it's going to be a rare occasion to see Ellis perform with his sons. That there's not a lot of that going around. On occasion, they get the chance to go to some cities, some states, some countries, and do a whole family thing together. We have them right here in our backyard on April 27th at the Woodruff Arts Center.
No, will you pick up the sticks and join them at any point?
Possibly. If Ellis asks me to play a song or two, I am not going to go, oh, no, I don't think so.
Well, I hope you will. Noel Kendrick, Paul Bolster, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.